making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
From the White House, a statement from the White House saying the Philadelphia Eagles are, quote, unable to come to the White House with their full team to be celebrated tomorrow. They disagree with their president because he insists that they should proudly stand for the national anthem, hand on heart, in honor of the great men and women of our military and the people of our country. The Eagles wanted to send a smaller delegation, but the 1,000 fans planning to attend the event deserve better. Those fans are still invited to the White House to be part of a different type of ceremony, one that will honor our great country, pay tribute to the heroes who fight to protect it, and loudly and proudly play the national anthem.
All right. How you doing, Zoe?
Good morning.
Hold on one second.
Yeah, we're good.
I'm having a hard time. There we go. Couldn't hear myself there for a second.
Today's Tuesday, correct?
Yeah, today's Tuesday. Dan Shaughnessy will be in at 11. Today is the start of minicamp, officially.
No, Dan's been
in
on
Foxborough.
The,
minicamp is underway, mandatory for all players.
Better be there, be square.
Be there or be in violation of your contract and face stiff penalties, such as monetary fines. All that happening
today. Shaughnessy with a pretty good column on Brady. I think it's a fair column.
He went right at Tom Brady in his column.
We'll get into that when Dan gets in. But Dan was doing a media circuit this morning.
Talking about Brady?
Yeah. He was on the, that soccer mom, that Kiss channel.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Maddie?
Yeah, going back and forth with him. Maddie was trying to bait him. Fred's buddy, Maddie. Fred's very intrigued by Maddie.
Fred's like, oh.
Pick his brain.
Yeah. They're going, Maddie, yeah.
Typical Dan interview.
So Dan will be with us coming up at 11.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the Philadelphia Eagles are not going to the White House.
We will carry Belichick live, by the way, so stay tuned for that. And
we said that.
Yeah.
Okay. Covered that. Good. What's your thought on the Eagles getting canceled?
You could blame the NFL owners for this one. You could blame, people are going to blame Trump being, oh, yeah, it's a stupid move by Trump. I mean, he should have just had whoever wanted to come and be the bigger man, and I think it would have made him look better. But the owners put this back in the forefront, this whole flag anthem issue. See, it's hard for me to comment on the anthem because we stayed in the locker room when we did it. It was never an issue for us. Never became an issue. Now everybody's got an issue with the flag. The owners rewrote the policy that said you're going to be allowed to protest, but you got to protest inside where nobody can see it. So that just, it's like dangling a carrot in front of him. Gave him the bait and he took it. Gave him the bait and he took it. I think he's making a political statement out of this.
Who is?
The president.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. Round up the masses.
Yeah, you think?
Well,
a little bit?
Yep. And they gave him the platform to do it, and he's doing it, and you're going to have that issue today. So, I mean, I've always been under the understanding that if you're invited to the White House and you win something, you go. We went through this over all the years, even going back to Tim Thomas. And it's funny, people killed Tim Thomas for not wanting to go, but now they applaud people for not wanting to go. It supports whatever belief you have. You can blame the NFL owners for this one because this was a dead issue. The issue was dying.
Yeah, I blame the owners for bringing it back up and for instituting a rule that I don't think needed to happen, but I don't think the owners are to blame for being uninvited from the White House.
No, that's on him. That's on him, and that's on the White House.
I don't think they have anything to do with this part of it.
Right.
In fact, even if that rule hadn't come about going back a couple of weeks, I don't think these guys are getting together and going. I don't think that their attendance at the White House today, the Philadelphia Eagles, for their visit, had nothing to do with the rule coming into play a couple of weeks ago.
But
they weren't tied together.
But
Trump wants to tie them together.
Oh, wait a minute.
Trump wants to make it all about the anthem.
Right.
Eagles players have said it's not specifically about the anthem. And he's also talking about a team that didn't have a single player kneel during the national anthem last season.
Right. Right. Pretty poor job.
Player.
Poor job by Fox News, too.
Oh, it's propaganda wing. Fox News today.
Well, they got
put up
they
pictures
got
on television
while they're praying.
Of them praying.
That would piss me off as
long before the anthem was being played.
Right. That would piss me off.
And using it as, oh, look, these guys were kneeling. Yeah, they were kneeling in prayer.
Yeah. And Zach Ertz got pissed about it. And he should. And his wife's he's extremely religious. And, they pray together. And I remember stories going back to Super Bowl week. So to use that and say, okay, here's pictures of them kneeling in disrespect of the anthem or the flag or however you want to term it.
That is how they presented
it. They were praying. I mean, here we are. We're back doing this anthem thing again. And I just wonder how many guys wouldn't go if this rule didn't get changed from the Eagles. You know what I mean? I think they, you know, we know Chris Long and what he stands for and what he believes. There is a faction of guys that would not go. I just wonder if it would be as much as was reported today. And I talked to somebody down there, and he said none of the black guys were going.
And you think that was because a rule came about 2 weeks ago? I don't know. Or because they don't like Donald Trump?
I think, well, maybe half of them would go. Or maybe half the white guys. Or maybe Chris Long was thinking about
it. I think you're making dangerous assumptions is what
you're
doing.
I'm not making dangerous assumptions. I'm just saying you brought it made this a fiery issue again to where, you know what, I'm really going to rethink whether or not I'm
going to go. Because Trump wasn't a fiery issue before. Trump didn't piss anybody off in the NFL until the NFL came up with a rule. Or maybe those guys that were deciding not to go today didn't want to go because they didn't like this guy in the first place, and they didn't appreciate being called sons of bitches last year. Maybe that was why.
I don't think they would have gone. I don't think the rule change had anything to do with it. I think a bunch of them, and both sides of it, you know, you're trying to, a lot of people are trying to assign all these philosophical and political motives to it.
Right.
It's a bunch of players that don't like Trump. There's a bunch more players who don't want to be on the bad side of those guys because I got to play with them next year. So they say, fine, we're not going to go either.
Not every member of the Patriots went last year.
So the White House invites them. They say, no, we don't like you. We're not going. A bunch of guys say, okay, fine, we won't go either. The White House says, oh, you're not coming? Well, you're uninvited. It's like, it's so silly.
But you know what? We're still
going
to have a party.
Childish.
Here's what Torrey Smith said. Okay, Torrey Smith, who, again, won the Super Bowl, was asked back in February, would he be going to the White House? And he said no, and was asked why. And he said, for me, it's not just about politics. If I told you that I was invited into a party by an individual I believe is sexist or has no respect for women, or I told you that this individual has said offensive things towards many minority groups, this individual also called my peers and friends SOBs, you would understand why I wouldn't want to go to that party. Why is it any different when that person has the title of the President of the United States? Was his point. Was that if this guy was just a friend of a friend and was having a party at his house, I probably wouldn't go to the party at his house. And I'm not going to see this guy. And I think that this had nothing to do with the rule by the owners going back a couple of weeks. I don't think it does. You know who's making it about that rule? Donald Trump is making it about that
rule.
Sure
is. He sure is. You can't refute that.
And he's making it all about disrespect of the military and disrespect of the country when that is not what is being protested even a little bit.
Well, you got the military band there today, buddy. He's still having a party. This is like the bride walking away at the wedding. But you know what? I paid for the wedding, and we're still going to have the wedding. Band, you're still going to play. We're going to play old cover tunes. We're playing Do You Remember, 21st of September, Earth, Wind, and Fire. We're starting with that one. And the party starts at 3. So be there.
I think I could sum up this whole story in about 2 minutes.
God bless our gracious King.
I think you sum it up in 3 seconds right there.
I'm going to try and do it in like under 60 seconds. We'll do it. 617-779-0985. Because the real reason they got uninvited was because Trump needs a distraction. That's what he needs right now. And that's what he got. Because he is absolutely getting it in the form of uninviting the Eagles to the White House. That's what he got. We'll get to your calls on this as well. Dan Shaughnessy will join us at 11 today. We'll get into his Brady story later this hour.
Zoe and the Beatles. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly.
So I can talk fast. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Eagles did make that decision that Trump talks about in that statement to send a smaller delegation. What happened was they had conversations amongst their players and their staff the last couple of weeks. There were a lot of ideas being kicked around. Some players said, well, we can all go down as a team. Certain guys can go to the White House. Other guys can go do some things maybe in the community or meet with lawmakers. Or other guys can go sightsee but still make it a team trip, even though not everyone would go to the White House. That was one idea being kicked around. In the end, Jeff Lurie decided that he didn't want to make it a sideshow and wanted to keep this contingent really small. I did not get an exact number, but I was told it wasn't 20, it wasn't 10, it was going to be less than that. Obviously, that decision by the team and by Jeffrey Lurie did not please Donald Trump and the White House.
You're on Zolak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985. Mike Garofalo, NFL Network.
Speaking of...
He says the numbers were down to less than 10, possibly. That's what his sources are telling him about how many players were going to make it to the White House on the visit, which maybe those reports contributed to what happened, which was the disinvite or uninvited situation that they're now in.
Speaking of NFL Network, they're actually live hosting from Patriots training camp. So talk about how big it is with them. Mini camp. Yeah, and same thing I'm hearing. Numbers were down. But, I mean, numbers were down with the Patriots last year. Wasn't the same as other years. Dante Hightower was open about it, too, and everybody think you're taking a political stance here last year. He goes, no, I've went how many times with Alabama? Been there, done it. You know, went once. I'm not going again. Became monotonous to him. When you win championships, you continuously go. I just thought it's a thing where you always go. You just go, regardless, because it's not a political thing. You're going to see the damn White House.
Oh, it very much is now a political
thing. It is now. And it started with Tim Thomas. You know, when you go openly and take a stance because I'm not going because that guy's in, you know, then it becomes political. I would have went regardless. We never got invited.
You got to win.
As a broadcaster. Never got invited.
What do you mean you didn't get invited? You could have gone.
No, we couldn't have.
You could have gone as media. There were plenty of people in the media
that applied.
You would have been allowed to go if you had applied as media.
Yeah,
they would have let you in.
I want the team tour.
Well, you're not on the team.
I know.
You could have gone to the White House.
Right. Could have gone. Yeah, we could even gone down there and done a show for them.
I wish they told us to do that. That would have been fun.
Maybe next time if they go again and win, we'll maybe get that set up.
I don't care who's in the White House.
I don't either.
Chance to go to the White House? Yeah, I'm going.
Damn right.
Thank you very much.
That is a cool thing, man, because there's nothing like it. I mean, you know,
but if you go as media, you're not there to visit the president. Like
No.
You're there because you want to see the White House.
Right.
You want to see the facility.
Yeah. But I mean,
check it out.
I mean,
my daughter, Rose Garden.
My daughter played AAU and they did the national tournament down there. We're down there for 4 days and we stayed right next to the White House. And there's nothing like being down there in D.C. and seeing everything and absorbing it. It is a cool thing.
I'd be
really
pissed off if I remember the Eagles today because
I would too, and if I wanted to go,
I'd be you're being used right now.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles are being used as a distraction for what has been a bad week for Trump. That's what this is. It's a way to deflect. It's a way to bring the attention to something that isn't everything that is going on in his world, to be able to use this as bait for his base and to be able to fire people up and blow one of his dog whistles and get everybody fired up about how these guys in the NFL don't respect the country. Because that's easy and neat and tidy, and that's red meat, as many have said, for his base.
They should have just done away with teams being out for the anthem. You know, if you're going to stand, you stand as a team. Like, we stayed in as a team. We didn't have the option. We weren't out for the national anthem. This became a thing after I was out. You keep talking about the rule.
I don't think the rule has anything to do with the Eagles being uninvited. But if you want to talk about the rule and the players,
it gives it life, man.
The players who are upset with the rule, including Devin McCourty, who had some comments about it this week. We don't have the sound because it was conveniently edited out of any online versions of his press availability that he had last week. I don't know. I can't seem to find it on Patriots.com.
Battery must have went out.
But that's right. The camera battery must have run out at that point. All I can tell you is that these players who look at it and say, the owners had a choice. They could have either backed us or they could have backed Trump. And a lot of people have accused the owners of being afraid of Trump. That is why they've backed him. And I have to keep correcting you people. No, they're not afraid of Trump. They are Trump. They're with Trump. They give this man millions of dollars. They are politically aligned with Trump. They are Trump. They are Trump's America. That's who they are. Don't confuse it with them being fearful of a tweet come September like we had last year on September what? 22nd?
That's what I don't understand.
They're not afraid. Now, they don't like that.
Right.
But is it all because they're worried about their declining ratings and revenues? No. Listen, the NFL is very healthy. Financially very healthy. They are on that side. How do you not see that?
Like the Johnson & Johnson family that owns, Woody Johnson and his family that owned the Jets, they're not going to lose their money. That fortune is not going to go anywhere. But yet, they vote for this rule change, but yet Woody's son comes out and says, I'll pay the fines. So why are you okaying it? Because you know you have to as a group. This is like why'd Robert Kraft take his punishment? He got up there to San Francisco and found, you know what? I'm part of the crew. I've got to take the punishment. The other owners told me I have to do it. Like, it's their club. It's their rules. It's their government. That's what it is. It's the owners. The owner said it. Said, this is their league. This is their ball. So,
and their guy in the White House.
Yeah.
All those things. That's what it basically is.
Well, some of them support the other guy. The other guy was in for 8 years.
That's true. Some of them do,
yeah.
But plenty of them don't.
I think the money goes to whoever's in. It's kind of what we do to keep business rolling.
617-779-0985. Bobby's in Lemonster. Hey, Bobby. I can't hear Bobby. Bobby, go ahead.
What's up, gentlemen? How are
you
doing?
Yo.
Am I there now?
Yes, you are. Loud and clear.
It kills me that these guys want to be such political figures, yeah, they have a chance to go speak with the president. If you disagree with his views, go there, you know, say what you feel, put your voice out there and talk about it or something. Don't just kind of sissy out and go, well, I'm not going, I don't like it.
Again, the argument that if you go to the White House, you can sit there and have a conversation.
Do you really think that's going to happen?
Like
there's going to be an open dialogue?
Open dialogue, a political conversation. Yeah, I'm sure that's really what's going to happen. I'm sure that whatever they say is really going to impact how things go.
It's going to be a quick pick, quick handshake. Here's this room, here's that room, here's this room, here's the garden. Let's go. Keep moving.
It's a fallacy. It's a fallacy. You can take it right to the White House. Really? They're going to sit there and engage?
That's an easy out. That's an easy kickback. Like, well, you should go and just state it in front of him, you know, instead of just, this does nothing. You had a chance. He's giving you a free opportunity to come stand.
Who's going to be the first guy to go to the White House and take the knee at the White House? Now, that would be having some balls right there.
Right.
That to me would be impressive. I'm going to come right in your rose garden and take a knee, Mr. President.
Get some weeds down here.
Yeah.
Who dropped this?
Pick a flower while I'm down here. Bill's in Framingham. Bill.
Hey, guys. At first, when they took the knee, everybody was saying it was against the military and the flag and the country and all that. But then it comes out that this is against police brutality stuff. Well, you know what? There's 1.1 million uniformed police officers that go to work every day in this country to protect the citizenship. And I think it's an absolute disgrace. If that's why they're protesting, when a police officer sits in front of his TV with his kid, and the kid goes, Dad, why are they kneeling? What's he supposed to say? Was he going to lie to him? Was he going to say, no, they don't like the way
Bill,
we police us. Us policemen do our job.
Bill, if you're against police brutality, does that mean you're against police? Does that mean you hate all police?
No, but for the few out of 1.1 million that go there every day, how many incidences per day, 1.1 million are on the job, how many incidences?
I agree, it's a very small percentage, but don't you think that small percentage is an important thing that needs to get rooted out?
If 10 incidences,
shouldn't the good police officers agree?
I mean, look at the stuff.
A day out of 1.1 million.
I agree, Bill, with you. It's a very small percentage.
The dash cams, the body cams that have been implemented since that, now all of a sudden you're catching certain incidents like that, and you're right. There are these incidents that ruin it for everybody because they do try to serve and protect.
Right, I know, but I just think it, you know, for them to, that's their public stand against our police. You know what? I wouldn't want to be a policeman and have to go out there with a gun on my side every day and try to protect us and then have to listen to these people protest against what we do for a few bad apples. You know what? That's like saying there's a few bad apples in the football team, but we still watch.
Oh, there are. There are. 53 right. different guys of 53 different upbringings. And none of them are perfect.
That's confusing what it is to say that because you were protesting police brutality, you are now against all police. Or because you are kneeling during the national anthem, you hate the military.
See, but you understand.
They're not equal.
The problem, Beetle, is that you understand the protest. I think sometimes, and a lot of people will understand the protest better than the people doing the actual protesting. That's when it gets weird. You know, when they were doing the one percenters, the camp screw the rich thing that was going on downtown for a while, and these people are walking
the homeless people there, the people that became homeless with their tents.
Yeah, the people go around, screw the cops, and then as they're trying to get home, they're stopping and asking police officers, excuse me, can you tell me where the nearest red line station is? And
police.
And they're like, I thought we were all a bunch of murderers.
You said F me.
Well, and anyway, it's right over there, and you don't have to say thank you. They're just out there doing what
it's like that on both sides.
It would piss me off, too, if I were a cop. And I know some cops don't like it.
It's the uninformed on both sides that drive you crazy.
The fact that it gets pulled up and brought up again, and that's the reason why we're talking about it, is because it got brought up again today. It's like, let's bring it back in the fold. It was done. People weren't doing it anymore.
Here we are again.
The players had done this thing. I think they had brought some awareness. They had pissed some people off. Some people didn't like it. So a lot of people didn't care. Some people stood with them. Some people knelt with them. Whatever it was, it had run its course and it was over. And then the owners decided they're going to make a rule.
Now you got player availability at mini camps today. And, gee, you think you're going to get asked any questions about the Eagles
then,
not
and
going?
And then you got a bunch of players who don't want to go to the White House, which are they the first team that is said we're not going to go to the White House since Trump took office?
No.
No.
No, not even close.
But then it gets brought up again saying, well, they want to kneel. That's why they disagree with Matt. That's not, and they're not coming.
Despite the fact that not a single Philadelphia Eagle took a knee last season at any point.
Owners vote. A lot of the owners reportedly abstained from voting. They didn't even want to vote on the issue. Some of the owners knew. To Zoe's point earlier.
The smart ones should be like, why are we addressing
this? A lot of them don't have a political leading one way or the other. They just want to be in good with the guy who's in charge.
Yep.
He's like, you know what? I can't vote for this, but I can't vote against it. I'm not going to vote at all. But
then
you
get
you
the Jets owner saying, I'll vote for it, but I'll pay the fine.
Kicking the hornet's nest. Yep. And it's just more kicking of the hornet's nest. You want to keep this thing going? Well, you are. You know what? I think they do want to keep it going. For some sick reason, they want to keep this thing going.
617-779-0985. That's the phone number for you. We'll get headlines with Hardy. We'll hear from Bill Belichick coming up at 11 a.m.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Patriots minicamp beginning today. Tom Brady reportedly there, as he was yesterday, along with Rob Gronkowski for another team event. We'll be talking more about this throughout the day. And we're scheduled to hear from Bill Belichick, I believe, at 11 a.m. right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Meanwhile, the Red Sox open up a homestand with the first of three against the Tigers tonight. Steven Wright will be getting the start for the Red Sox tonight at Fenway Park. Capitals now have a commanding 3-1 lead in the Stanley Cup Final. Alex Ovechkin after the game.
Everybody has effort. It's pretty high. And it doesn't matter. It's Kuzi, Biggs, Lar. We all on the same page. We all try to do our best. And it's huge.
He kills him. He's killed him.
Yeah, 6-2 the final. As I said, the Capitals now lead Vegas in the best of seven. 3-1. Headlines are brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Host your next event at Apex Entertainment Center.
Oh, my God.
80,000 square feet of pure fun.
It is just, I've been there. It is insane.
Is it 80,000?
It's in Marlboro. It feels bigger.
Is it 80,000 square feet of pure fun?
Dude, you got go-karts, you got hatchet throwing, you name it, trampoline parks, you got Planet Fitness. It's unbelievable.
Oh, hello, apexentertainment.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zoe leave?
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brandon's in Fitchburg. Hi, Brandon.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up, guys?
What's going on?
All right, get ready for this hot take, okay?
Okay.
Donald Trump is just trying to sabotage the NFL because he's still pissed off from 1984 from the USFL and getting screwed over. It's not
that hot of a take. I never ruled that part of it out, that he's got this itch that he wants to scratch about the NFL, not only about the USFL, but about his possible interest in the Buffalo Bills.
The amount of money he pumped
into
the Jersey
part
Generals,
of it out
man.
Either.
Yep.
Right?
Everything's in play. That dude's mind, the way his mind works, still like a businessman. He's not really a president, right? He's not really a politician. He is a guy that made money through business and working deals. And that guy wanted to own a piece of the NFL. He wanted a part of the NFL. It wouldn't let him in. And that's in the back of his mind.
Sure it is. John is in Bellingham. Hi, John.
Yeah, here I am.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out that, I was a veteran when it wasn't cool to be in the military, okay? and a bunch of us that served, we got spit on when we came home. Well, now after 50 years, they're telling us, oh, you know, thanks for your service. Well, yeah. But when I see the flag go by, I salute. When I hear the anthem, I put my hand over my heart. Now, these million-dollar babies that are in the NFL, there's other ways that they can show their support for the causes that they're looking at versus kneeling for the anthem. I mean, come on. You might as well spit on the flag. Anyway, God bless America.
All right, John.
Thank you.
There's a lot of people that feel that way. But fighting for that flag and being a veteran, you fought for the rights for people to think the way they want to think. You know, there are people that view the flag differently. I don't know. I'm raised, I stand, put my hand on heart. It's the way I'm raising my kids. It's what it is. Other people look at it differently, but that's why you live in America.
Jay is in Dorchester. Hi, Jay.
What's up, Jake?
Jay, you there?
Yep, I'm here. How you doing?
Yeah.
You guys can hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah,
can.
Hey, Jay, somewhat. Barely. Go what do you got?
I please. Just want to say something. So all the, like, the gentlemen that served, I respect you guys, but to the real story of Kaepernick, when he first started protesting, there was a gentleman that was in the military, and Kaepernick was sitting down at first. The gentleman spoke to Kaepernick about his views on why he's
correct.
Sitting down.
Yep, yep.
And then they came to the conclusion that he should take a knee. Now, this is coming from somebody that did serve in the military. And Kaepernick is he's fighting for the people that have no voice out here that get abused by police. I'm one of the people. I'm 28 years old, and I've been getting mistreated by police since I was 17. Like, it happens every single day. Like, he speaks for the people that don't have a voice. I understand where the people from the military are coming from. Trust me, I do. My grandfather and my uncle also served. Also, I understand what you guys are saying also. But maybe we should come to a conclusion on something that we should do. If you guys feel like, all right, the knee is not that good enough, then all right, then maybe we should come to a better conclusion to that. But until then I feel like this is the only way that we're going to speak out. But I have a question for you guys.
Well, yeah. Hold on one second, because and it's a good point you bring up about Kaepernick being told by a military, I don't know if he was active or a veteran, saying, like, no, a more respectful way
active.
Of doing this.
He was active
would be
on
kneeling.
The sidelines with him.
But that guy's not speaking
he
for...
He doesn't speak for everybody.
He doesn't speak for all military members.
We had John,
right?
The veteran, that doesn't feel that way.
That doesn't necessarily mean, oh, that makes it okay with everybody.
Right. Well, right. It's actually, the person that told him is Nate Boyer, who is playing for the Seahawks. And Boyer was actually a Green Beret, I believe. So this is someone who was a veteran who had talked to him, who is now in the NFL, telling him how he felt about it. And that's when Kaepernick changed to kneeling versus sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your question?
So, yeah, go ahead.
All right, and my question is now, I feel like the NBA has way more unity than the NFL does. Do you ever think with all, like, they... I don't know too much about the whole lockout thing. I just feel like they have a little bit more unity within each other. Do you think, like, the NFL will ever, like, have a like, unity within each other and say, you know what?
Do you mean between players or between ownership and players?
Because, no, definitely not the ownership of players, because we all know that this is the owners' league.
So you're talking
everybody
about players.
Knows that.
Yeah.
Smaller room. It's easier to keep everybody together.
Guys.
Better CBA. If guys are taken care of better, more consistently across the board, you know what? You're willing to put up with a little bit more nonsense.
Well, guaranteed money speaks.
We're not allowed to kneel. We're not allowed to do anything. Well, we're gonna make our voices heard in other ways. But man, we're all making a lot of money. We're all doing very well. The NFL can't say that. There's guys out there who are not getting paid a lot of money. By your and my standards, they
running
are.
Running down on the kicks, getting your brain knocked in.
Yeah, but, you know, talk to Malcolm Butler, a guy like that who was making, $400,000, $500,000 his first couple of years?
Yeah.
And he's out there on the field with the guys who are making $12, $14 million.
You got a mercenary like Revis he's playing across.
It creates for a lot of division and for a lot of dissenting opinions, and we're not all in this together. And, oh, by the way, very few of these contracts are guaranteed. And what are we really getting at the end of the day, especially a guy like that who didn't get taken care of by his team, got essentially sat down and told to go elsewhere. I think it's way easier to find guys in the NFL who are unhappy with the terms of their employment and with their employers by the number of guys playing, the virtue of the contracts, the virtue of the CBA, more so than it is in the NBA. So don't mistake happiness for unity. And they're like, yeah, we're doing okay. That's really, does anybody really want to ruffle any feathers around here? We're doing okay. We should probably find other ways to make our voices heard without upsetting the apple cart.
Jay, appreciate the call. Coming up next, want to touch on Dan Shaughnessy's story that he wrote today on Tom Brady. We will have Shaughnessy in studio with us next hour. We will also go live to Foxborough. Belichick's scheduled to speak right around 11 a.m., and when he does, we'll carry it live.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Near on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. Shaughnessy's coming up with us next hour. Is he here? You seen him at all? He's supposed to be here today.
He's busy.
There.
He's busy.
Okay, good.
Was he on with Baby Beatnuts and Q-Tip this morning?
He will be with us coming up in just a couple of minutes.
Nice.
He had a column yesterday. It's in today's paper, I believe.
Yeah.
Right, Dan? In print today. But it hit the interwebs yesterday, and it's a letter to Tom Brady that says, "Dear Tom, what happened?" Or as Richard Sherman once asked, "You mad, bro?" Seriously, at what point precisely did you decide you like the world of Thurston Howell III more than the football world of Fuzzy Thurston? Do you get that reference there, so? New Thurston Howell III is?
Yeah. Little ascot and a little pipe smoker. And
he's the millionaire.
Likes the highfalutin style.
The millionaire.
He's got the nicer hut.
And his wife.
Never put him with the wife, though.
What do you mean?
Well, just normally when you see guys like that, they usually go a little younger.
He says, "When did you make the leap from stopwatches to Tag Heuer watches?"
Nice watch, by the way.
"How can you possibly feel underappreciated when you work here in New England where every sports citizen wants to throw rose petals in your path, then wash your feet and kiss your 5 championship rings? We expect you to be at Patriots mandatory minicamp at Foxborough this week, but we are still surprised that we didn't see you for the voluntary team activities last week. You attended those in the past, like every other NFL starting quarterback, and were convincing when you told us how important it is to participate in them." And he says, "So what changed?" And really, that's the question. What has changed? And I think that's a question, though, that we've been debating for quite some time. Months now.
Yeah, and that's the big part of it. That's where it puts Brady on the spot, is because, you know, he's been on the record saying everything's important. Every walkthrough, every throwing session, every meeting, every coaching session. That's what ultimately builds you to eventually get ready for camp, have a good camp, have a good season, then have a good playoff run. That's where it gets Brady on the spot. That's where it puts him on the spot and makes it look like he's, you know, choosing an alternative method now. It's almost like he wants to, in a weird way, challenge himself differently. Like, I'm bored with the other way. I've proven I could do it this way. I'm going to totally do it another way and show you that whole method is good and it works. But there are other ways that work. It starts today.
Do you think the coach and the team and teammates look at him and say, "This guy's not the same guy anymore. There's something different about this guy"?
It'll be, not yet. Not yet.
Because as Dan writes, you're all about the brand. You're all about Alex.
No, not yet. He's carried you. When he starts carrying
you. Since you work in Fort Foxborough, where truth and candor are enemies of the state, we can only guess what happened.
The guy can really write.
It's beautiful.
It's kind of weird. You hear voices in your head just like right there. Is Dan Shaughnessy on air yet, even though he's not getting paid yet? No, but you look at the way they do things down there. You mentioned that. You know, it's Fort Foxborough. We don't know to this day why Malcolm Butler didn't play, but we could sort of assume why Tom Brady hasn't been there.
You know, there's one question in here that says, "Truly, Tom, if you were forced to choose between Alex and the Patriots right now, which would it be?" I think that's an easy one to answer. That's obviously not a real-life situation that would present itself.
Gun to the head.
But gun to the head, one or the other?
Alex.
He chooses Alex and TB12. He does not choose the football team.
Well, he's been there, done it. He's got 5 of them for you. How many MVPs he's had? It's 18 years. He's got a business model up and running.
Yeah.
How many guys,
at this point in his career, with not much left to it?
What's the percentage of guys that can make the type of money on appearances and get a business model up and running like him? It's below 5%.
The career is at 80 or 90% completed. And he's looking forward, because you're always looking forward. You're not looking back. And if you're him, who's your stronger allegiance to right now? The New England Patriots football team or Alex Guerrero in TB12? I don't think that's a difficult question to answer, Dan Shaughnessy. I don't. I think that
Guerrero
answer
was on
is
that boat with him in
Guerrero
Monaco.
Guerrero and TB12.
Yeah. Oh, I second that. Yeah.
I don't. I really do. I mean,
it's almost like he's bored with the other one.
I don't think that's much of a stretch. But he's back today, and I do sort of wonder what the reception will be for Tom with his teammates, with the coaching staff. I know there are favorites on that coaching staff, yep, like Josh McDaniels, who will sit there and coddle him and welcome him with open arms. And then I think there are situations like Bill Belichick where he can be crusty, and maybe he does at some point.
I was told by somebody, Gronkowski walked in the locker room yesterday and the place exploded.
In celebration?
Like, in like a ray of select, an injection of enthusiasm and sunshine, because he's such a personality.
But Gronk is in a different category than Brady when it comes to all these things mentioned here.
Right.
Because he's not just about a brand. He's still...
Well, there's partial brand there.
He's still... Yeah, but
it's
you
not
know
the Brady
is?
Brand.
He's still young enough
that
there's a relationship that is probably better between him and his teammates. And he's still a position player. He's not a quarterback. It's probably easier for him to jump back in and everyone be, hey, it's Gronk!
It's fun-loving
guy. And he's
guy.
Such a fun-loving personality.
Where's the party
that
this
people
week?
Enjoy being around him because he is that guy.
You guys coming over to the house this week? We got the pool party going on.
I mean,
on.
You look at Tom Brady. Did you look at Tom Brady and say, oh, that's a fun guy to hang out with? I mean, that's not a put-down.
Used to be.
When? 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
15, 20 years ago,
but he's not that anymore. He's not 25 anymore.
He's changed. Life's changed. Priorities changed. Family's changed. I'm not the same guy I was 20 years ago.
Nobody is.
Nobody is. How different was your life 5 years ago before you had kids?
Insanely different.
Yeah.
Insanely different.
Look at Hardy over there. He's got all kinds of changes in his life. Oh, Hardy.
You know what's crazy is that...
Stop.
What?
Like, one day Hardy's ready to kill somebody. Now he's ready to... He's good.
Do you know that Sony Michel, who's now a member of the Patriots, had, on February 3rd of 2001... was just shy of his 6th birthday.
Yeah.
Actually, wait. That would have been... I have the year wrong. February 3rd, 2002 would have been the year. He was just shy of his 7th birthday. He was 6 years old when Brady won his first Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Six.
And now he's going to be getting the ball from him.
Right. Don't you think that there's a generational gap there?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Between Brady and a rookie that's in camp?
I mean, it's... To me, from the people I've talked to, and I'm not in the locker room, and I never go in the locker room, but Brady's done a fantastic job bridging that gap.
Well, you know, I think that would be a challenge if all these other things didn't already exist on top of it.
Right.
Which is the celebrity profile, the supermodel wife, you know, the Tag Heuer events, going to Monaco, being invited by the Prince, having 5 Super Bowl rings. I mean, there are things on top of just the age gap that don't make him exactly relatable.
Right.
And now he hasn't been there. That doesn't help in the relatable department.
Like yesterday he walks in and he meets the new slot receiver from Miami. You know, Barrios. Hey, how are you? I'm Tom.
Barrios.
That process needs to start now. It's more important that he gets work with him than Edelman and Gronkowski, who probably are going to Montana with him in 2 weeks.
Edelman and Gronk, those guys don't even matter.
That's in your sleep. Close my eyes and throw those
guys. I mean, you got to get back in a rhythm, but that doesn't take long for those
guys. What it does, too, and Tom Brady being away puts the pressure on guys like Chad O'Shea, Ivan Fierce, Josh McDaniels, who you've mentioned already, who he probably has a great relationship with, and he probably has great relationships with these other guys. But those guys now have to coach these guys up extra hard because of how demanding Brady is. And this is one of the things. I talked to somebody that watched, you know, Hoyer operate the last couple weeks. And it's not the same hands-on in between plays, in between series, where Hoyer's coaching up a guy like Brady does. Brady is, it's when he's there, it's full throttle. I need you to do this. I want your body leaning this way. The stuff we saw with Garoppolo and sound effects. We got a break for Belichick.
We're going to go to headlines with Hardy. There are no commercials here. We're expecting Bill Belichick on the other side.
Zola, Amber Trent, Bertrand, middays on 98.5, The Sports Hub.